I want everything you have for me. I don't want to miss anything you have in this life for me. What do you want from me? And he asked me a question. And he said, if you stood before me tonight, what name would I call? Mm. I was like, oh, God, that is not fair. Because I had heard God calling me Laura in my prayers, and I was just trying to ignore that.
Hi, and welcome to One Little Candle, a place where genuine believers are encouraged, empowered, and inspired to be the light that God calls us to be by contending for the faith that God has entrusted once for all time to His people so that we may pass down undefiled the truth of God's infallible word to the next generation. And in case you're thinking that you can't make a difference in your own little corner of the world, yes, you can, because all it takes is one little candle. I'm your host, Rebecca Berschwinger. Thanks for joining me for today's episode. Well, hello, my fellow candles. How are you today? I pray all is well in your own little corner of this world. It is springtime. Spring has sprung, at least according to the calendar. We here in upstate New York just got hit last night with snow and ice, and actually a lot more snow than what they had predicted for parts of the area. And so, yes, it's a winter wonderland outside. I mean, it's beautiful. It's so gorgeous, especially when, you know, the sun shines and the snow is just sparkling in the sunshine. And you look up at the trees and just the beautiful glaze. They look like glass, like the trees are made of glass. So everything is, in fact, beautiful. But I, for one, especially an avid gardener, have had my share of winter. It's time to move on. So, yeah, hopefully we can very soon. But for those of you who are new, this is your first time here listening, thank you for stopping by One Little Candle. I'm so happy to have you. And for those of you who are returning, thank you so much for coming back. Now, today is part two of my interview with Laura Perry Smaltz and her husband, Perry Smaltz. And we talk about her book, Transgender to Transformed. Wonderful book. If you have not read it, please do. So a little bit about Laura. She lived for nearly a decade as a transgender man named Jake. That is, until she realized the deception of the transgender lifestyle and leaving it all behind. She was able to embrace her true identity as a woman, and her transformation is chronicled in this book. Now, she shares her story at churches, in conferences, in articles, and on various programs to help others find the same freedom that she has. She and her husband, Perry, live in Oklahoma. But actually, I just want to read a little bit on the back cover here of her book. It says this: today's culture is drowning in the lies of the born that way, quote unquote, ideology that claims desires and feelings cannot change or be overridden. Transgender to Transformed chronicles the story of Laura Perry, a former transgender who believed those same lies and was determined to never return to being female, no matter what it cost her. And cost her, it did. Like many who feel trapped in the wrong body, Laura, quote unquote, transitioned to the opposite sex through irreversible surgeries, hormone injections, and a legal name change. Yet, despite her initial elation at living as a male, her new identity failed to bring her the peace and fulfillment she longed for. Realizing that she was living a lie, what was promised to be freedom had instead become a prison cell. Filled with raw, honest emotion, Laura's story sheds light on the common deceptions about the transgender lifestyle and exposes the frustration and hopelessness of living with a self-created identity that is in opposition to who God created. This book bravely leads the way out of the darkness and into the light of freedom that transgenders may desperately be seeking. And so in our interview here, as well as in the book, you'll find practical insights into the mind of a transgender to help you understand how to better love and even understand them. And that was probably the most profound impact that this book had on me. I didn't realize how much I had been affected by all the nasty shove-it-down-your-throat activism that is out there, forgetting the precious soul, the precious face, you know, putting a face to the transgender. But she also talks about how to deal with loved ones who may be struggling with gender dysphoria, or even for those who themselves are struggling with gender dysphoria. So fantastic book. I highly, highly, highly recommend that you please read it, because if you don't know someone who is struggling with their gender or maybe has, quote unquote, transitioned, you will. Trust me, you will, because it really is a craze right now, the transgender craze. So yeah, so today is part two of the two-part episode with my interview with Laura and Perry. And not only are you going to get to hear Laura's encouragement for those who are struggling with gender dysphoria or love someone who's struggling, she's also going to talk about how as a church we should be, what's needed, you know, and the cost of following Jesus. I'm going to learn a little bit from Perry and Laura about their love story and her life as a married woman and their ministry, Eden's Redemption, which really reflects Laura and Perry's heart for people and their heart for marriage, and will be providing hope for the hurting. And they also have a podcast upcoming. It hasn't started yet, but they are in the process of getting a podcast up, and I can't wait to hear that. You know, also, right now, you can even access Laura's teachings. Just Google Laura Perry, really. Transgender to Transform. I've listened to some of her teachings, and I was actually, as I was talking with her on this episode, I was trying to tell her how wonderfully she puts things when she's teaching. And I meant to say her winsome way of teaching, and I said whimsical. I didn't realize it till I was listening to it afterwards that I said whimsical instead of winsome. So needless to say, I edited that part out. But anyway, lots to hear yet from Laura and Perry in this episode. So I am so very glad you have joined me for this. So here we go, part two of my interview with Laura and Perry Smaltz. What do you do? Because people I've talked to that have loved ones, whether they're coming out as gay or transgender, they're getting such conflicting advice. What do you tell someone who has someone that they love who is struggling with it?
Yeah. I think, first of all, we have to love God more than we love any other person in this world. Jesus said, anyone who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason when he was asked what the greatest commandment was, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And if we get those out of order, we're going to be in trouble either way.
Right. They hinge, all others hinge on right. That first one. Yes. Yes.
Right. And if we truly love God, he will fill us with his love, and then that will spill out onto other people. So yeah, we don't want to be hateful and like pushing people away. I mean, we don't want to shove it down their throats. In fact, a lot of times my parents didn't even talk about the gender issues. They might have mm-hmm. I brought something up. They did in mm-hmm. the beginning. I knew where they stood, but they didn't shove it down my throat every time. But there were things that they would say that God would put on their heart. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it just had to do with things that God was teaching them, things they were excited about that the Lord was doing in their lives. And, you know, that it became so much a part of them. It's all they talked about because it was who they were. The right. Lord was their entire life. And so that was a testimony to me. But I also want to encourage parents. They're so worried about, my child might not speak to me or whatever. Those times were actually an incredible blessing for two reasons. Because one, my parents didn't need to see and know everything I was doing. That they, you know, parents can live in a whole lot of grief and stress and worry. So it actually relieved them a little bit to not know what I was doing every day. But also the other reason this was an incredible blessing is because I, in those times that I was gone for, you know, months to maybe a year or two, then I would come back and maybe just have a meal with them. I mean, it was very, very shallow for years. So I might have a meal with them every 6 months to a couple of years, depending on the time. But in those moments, I could see the change that God was doing in them. You know, if you see somebody every day, you're not aware of how much they're changing. But if you don't see somebody for months, all of a sudden those changes become really obvious.
Yeah, true. What about someone who they themselves are struggling with their gender? What kind of encouragement could you give them?
Well, I think, you know, most of all, the Lord has created us a certain way for His glory. And if you truly want to follow Christ, this is all about Christ's life and the life that He wants to live through us. I used to hear in youth group all the time growing up, Jesus is this missing part of your life and He's just this little missing piece. And it made it sound like you can live whatever life you want and do whatever you want with your life, but you just need to make Jesus a part of it. That is
right.
So
some sort of an accessory, right?
Exactly. Yeah. That is so backwards from the truth of the gospel, that what God calls us to is to lay down our lives for Him, to completely surrender our lives. And then Christ wants to live through us, His life. We're part of the body of Christ, and we're all members of what He's trying to accomplish on this earth. This has very little to do with our lives and what we want. Of course, God allows us to do things that we enjoy. He gives us pleasures and things like that. He gives us incredible relationships and things like this, but it's all about His purposes and His glory. And that's what I think we've gotten so backwards at times, and not telling these young people that, yes, you may feel a certain way, and there's help for that. That may be due to trauma. It may be due to things you're listening to on social media. It might be due to insecurities and self-hatred. There's a lot of things that could play into that, and those are important to deal with. But ultimately, the Lord brought me to a point when I came out of that lifestyle, He didn't fix my feelings first. I've heard a lot of people say, well, if God will fix my feelings, then I will follow Him and I'll get, detransition. But the Lord called me to lay it down and die to that, to crucify myself. In fact, I saw myself in this deep, dark pit that I couldn't get out of. And I could see the light at the top, but there was no way out. He reminded me of the verse in Matthew 16, where it says, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever will save his life shall lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his own soul? Or what shall he give in exchange for his soul? And I had a vision of Jesus Christ getting down on one knee, and He reached His hand down in this pit and He said, do you trust me? And I knew He was just asking me to walk away from everything. He didn't say, this is what your future is going to look like. And I have a husband for you. And, you know, you're going to enjoy being feminine and you're going to teach on male and female differences and you're going to love this one day. No, this was like, you die to this because you want the life that I have for you. And you're going to have to walk by faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, for without faith, it's impossible to please God. And yet these young people have been taught to trust in their feelings.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and it's, it is just, I've been going through some emotional things and I've had some health problems lately. And there are times that, that I just feel certain ways that I know. And he'll ask me and he's like, well, is that actually true? or even things that, like, in the beginning, it was hard to trust him because of so much trauma in my past with men. And he'd say, but is that actually true? Like, I'm not those other men. And I realized I had to stop looking at him through the lens of my past. But the Lord spoke to me one day when I was, you know, I was fretting over all these things that I'm thinking that I know weren't true. And I was just having this spiritual warfare in my mind. And the Lord said, he almost chuckled at me. And I could just picture the Lord kind of laughing. He said, you're starting this ministry telling all these people how they can't trust in their feelings, and that's all you're doing. You know, and it may not have been related to my gender, but it was related to lots of other things. And so,
yeah, not even realizing it. Yeah.
We've got to tell people to teach them that they can't trust in our feelings are fickle.
They're so fickle. They lie to us. Yes.
And that's not absolutely the truth of what's real. That's why God's word has to be the unchanging standard that we have to teach kids, that the word of God will never change. It's something we can always trust, and everything has to be measured by that. In fact, that's one thing that Perry was talking to our stepson at one point, because he was listening to all these things on YouTube and it would come up with all these crazy theories and all kinds of different religions, and he didn't have any filter for what was true. And I remember him having that conversation about That the word of God is a standard that will never change, and everything has to be filtered through that.
Yes, yes. And that is such a comfort. You know, that's one of our greatest comforts, the fact that he doesn't change with the times or with the with the culture. God's truths are infallible. They're unchanging. And what that's such a comfort to know that. There's one question that God asked you that I think really stops you in your tracks. You know what I'm talking about? Can you share that?
And this was at a point I had been really seeking the Lord. I knew that God had called me to be a missionary when I was 13. And I wanted to, and I'd been listening, you know, a lot of missionaries and things like this. And I'd been reading Pilgrim's Progress. And I began to realize like how, what it really meant to follow Christ. I began to get a vision of this. And so I wanted everything the Lord had for me. I knew that God had called me to be in ministry. And so I just kind of threw myself on the floor one day and I was really crying out to God. And I said, God, I want everything you have for me. I don't want to miss anything you have in this life for me. What do you want from me? And he asked me a question and he said, if you stood before me tonight, what name would I call? Mm-hmm. I was like, oh God, that is not fair. Cause I had heard God calling me Laura in my prayers. And I was just trying to ignore that. And I was so broken at that at time. Cause I thought, here I was, I got radically saved at one point. I was so on fire for Jesus. And I'm telling all these people about Jesus and trying to do all these things. And I thought God was accepting me as transgender. But when he asked me that, I knew that that God was not okay with the way I was living. And I'd been under so much conviction up to that point. There were so many things he was using, things that I hear over the radio, things I was studying. In fact, I got to at one point, I couldn't even read my Bible because I was under so much conviction. Everything I read convicted me. Yeah. And when the Lord asked me that, I knew he was kind of bringing this to a decision. And he said, he reminded me in John chapter 1, where it says Jesus Christ himself is the creator. And he said, you cannot claim to love me and yet reject my creation. And I thought I was being condemned because I was not going to go back to being female. That was just like, God, that's not an option. But in the most loving voice I've ever heard in all my life, the Lord whispered to me and he said, let me tell you who you are. And I had never had that concept. You know, I'd probably heard those verses, but like, wait a minute, God designed me for a purpose, for a plan. Like, I'm not just some floating person out here just wandering through the world trying to figure out how to impact the world. God created me for his plan and his purpose. And that began to really shift the way I thought about it. Now, it's not like at that moment I went, oh, yes, God, I want to be a girl. Because this was extremely painful. And I began to beg the Lord to just take my life because I thought, if God's purpose for me is for me to be a woman, then I can't do this. You know, I liked this idea of having this like radical sold out life for Jesus. But it was like, I can't, if God wants me to be a girl to do that, then I can't do this. And so I began to beg the Lord to take my life. And that's when he really called me to just lay it all down, to surrender it, to crucify myself, to walk away and follow him. Just like the fishermen that he called, they dropped their nets and followed him. Matthew at the tax collecting booth, he left his tax collecting booth and he followed Jesus. Sometimes we teach such an easy gospel and we just believe in Jesus, you know, but it's like there is a cost. In fact, Jesus even talked about how what military leader, you know, goes to war without counting the cost. This is a war, and this is it should not be taken lightly.
Yes.
In fact, we don't talk near enough about sin. I was so inspired by a book by Bertha Smith. She was a missionary back in around the 1900s in China. And she talked about how at their church, they realized at one point that she called them baptizing the dead, because they were baptizing people that weren't truly converted to Christ and they weren't growing because they weren't Christians. Mm-hmm. And she said they would have them come and confess all their sins and write them down and like come to the altar and pray. And she said she'd have them go home and ask the Lord to reveal more of your sin. And they would go home. They'd do this four or five times until these were people crying out, screaming, how do I get saved? They were under so much conviction that they were willing to have Christ over, they were desperate to be saved. And I think we try to bring people into a Christianity that's all about them. And I love a lot of modern worship music, but I do have issues with some of it that that makes it all about the person. You are just so wonderful. And there's a point where we need to hear that God, we need to hear, obviously, that God loves us, that we are special, that he created us for a plan and a purpose. But there's also a point where this is not about you. Like, this is all about Christ and the life that he is living through all of us. For, I mean, if you think of like being part of his greater plan for the entire world, that he wants you to be part of an eternal kingdom that will never pass away. Mm-hmm. And that's what began to motivate me and inspire me. And that's not taught. And we're trying to make everybody feel so good about themselves when God is calling us to lay down our life, to surrender our life, and to crucify ourselves in order to have the life that he wants for us.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I love it. And you know, that's why it's called the good news of Jesus Christ, because there's bad news that comes before that. The bad news is that you're lost. You're a sinner. Right. Your sin nature, when you're born, puts you at enmity with God.
Right.
But people don't like to hear that part, do they?
People don't.
And, you didn't need Jesus, Laura, because you were a transgender.
Right.
You know, it's not because you're a homosexual, a transgender, that we all need Jesus because we're sinners.
Right.
That's why.
Right.
You know, the gospel applies equally to all of us. So,
In fact, one quick point on that, the thing that really broke my heart and made me see what a wretch I was, because I went home the night I got saved, I went home and I began to pour out all the sin I could think of, just like, Bertha was talking about in this book. I began to, and I asked the Lord to remind me of every sin I've ever committed. Of course, I didn't understand the depths of sin. And, I had no idea how much sin there really was. But remind me of everything I've ever done. And I just began to confess everything I could think of. And the Lord reminded me of a night that I was at a play. It's a long story of how I got involved. I talk about it a little bit. I don't know if I did or not in the book. But anyway, that was supposed to lead people to come to know Jesus. And I was praying to Satan, asking Satan to keep people from coming to know Jesus.
Yeah, that was in your book. Yes.
So, and I remember that's what the Lord convicted me, and it broke my heart. And I remember that's when I realized what a wretch I was. And there was a lot of other sin too, but that had nothing to do with my transition. That was years before I transitioned. Right. But it was that anger and that toward God and me working for the enemy. And then why would God want me? And then, in fact, there's a worship song that I love where it says, "Once his enemy, now seated at his table."
Yeah.
Such an incredible
amazing grace. You know, it's his mercy. It's his grace. We serve an amazing God, Laura. We really, really do. And, you were saying, I think you said, God said, let me tell you who you are.
Yeah.
And we're looking at the world, a lost and dying and confused world, to tell us who we are instead of asking the creator who we are, because he knows us better than we know ourselves. Again, we were fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay, just a brief message and we will be right back. If you have been enjoying the content of One Little Candle podcast, I would like to encourage you to head over to my website and subscribe. Not only will this allow you to stay up to date with the latest episodes, but it will also give you access to additional resources, links to helpful ministries, and much, much more. By subscribing, you will also be supporting the podcast and helping me to continue bringing important conversations to listeners. So visit my website now at onelittlecandlepodcast.com and click on the subscribe button to join the community. Thank you for listening to One Little Candle Podcast. What a story. But here you are, you're telling your story, and God, right, as the saying goes, he takes our mess and turns it into our message. Let's come to the present here. Well, not quite the present. Perry, I want to know how you and Laura met. Tell us a little bit about how you guys met.
Well, I was involved in three different singles groups. I made lots of friends. But in one of these singles groups, there was a mutual friend that needed to be moved. So you weren't at the group at the time, were you?
No.
But we met through a mutual friend. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, we were hot and tired and hungry. So just about four of us were left. We went to a restaurant and we ate. And that's the first time that we talked with each other, and I wasn't looking for anything romantic, but I enjoyed talking with her, and I thought, well, I don't know if I'll ever see her again. And then I found out through the friend that she kind of liked me. So I thought, okay. So I asked her to eat out with me, and then you can talk about the details there. Why didn't she eat out with me?
Well, first of all, there was a whole, before this happened, of course, he doesn't know this part of this. I mean, he knows now, but he forgets because he wasn't there. Yeah. But this friend of mine, I wasn't in the group, but she and I knew each other. And she said it had come to her heart several times that she really needed to tell me about this guy. I'd taken her on a spiritual retreat, and we'd spent the weekend praying about our future husbands, but among other things, you know, we were praying for, but just kind of a retreat for us. And on the way back, she said, I have got to tell you about this guy. It's come to my mind several times that I need to introduce you. She said, you talk about God the same way. You talk about ministry the same way. And she said, she just really, it was on her heart to introduce us. So she starts telling me about this guy. And she said, his name is Perry. And of course, my maiden name is Perry. So I was
water. I got a kick out of that. Yeah.
Would that be weird for me to date a guy named Perry? And but she starts telling me about him. And he just sounds like an amazing guy. He's a music minister, which I was really drawn to. She said he's really funny and, you know, all these things. And so then she showed me his picture and I was like, wow, he's, you know, he's really cute. I'm like, but I'm thinking inside, like, what guy? What godly man that's never struggled with these things would have any interest in me with all my past. But I said, okay, I'd really like to date this guy or to meet him. I mean, not date at that point, but just, I'd really like to meet this guy. And we look up and we were in Perry, Oklahoma, as we were driving through. And so it's just so weird. You know, like, oh wow, this is.
Yeah. Oh, well, I told you earlier, Laura, the other day, I said, God has a sense of humor.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the day that we moved her, it was pouring rain. I mean, mm-hmm. It was just, we were so wet and actually cold. You said hot. It was freezing. I thought. Anyway, it was pouring rain and we were wet and muddy. And I just felt so gross going to this restaurant with this guy, you know, and I didn't know if we'd see each other again or if he'd be interested. But this friend told him that I was interested. I didn't know she was going to do that. But then I ended up telling him after all this, and she tells him that I'm interested. And then he asked me out. But I had looked him up on Facebook and I found out he was a little bit older than me. And I had told God, it was so funny because I told God that, you know, I want to marry whoever you want for me, really like an arranged marriage. Like, God, you just bring whoever you want for me. I can be free. You know, not that God doesn't have control anyway. You know, that's but really surrendering, Lord, whatever, you know, any desire that I have, I just want the man that you want for me. Except the only thing I said was that I didn't want a man that was older than me. You know, I had like a max range. And of course, he doesn't look that much older than me. So I had no clue. I mean, I just was afraid of that. Because I'd had experiences in the past, and I thought, you know, I just want a guy my age. But I didn't realize at the time that God had brought us together. And he said, well, what if I have you and your, I'd still like to get to know about your ministry. And what if I have you and your friends over and we, and you can tell me about the ministry. And so he had us over and cooked for us. He made this meatloaf wrapped in bacon.
Mm-hmm. It was good.
It was very good. And I began to, he was so funny that night. And it was funny. At the end of the night, our mutual friend said, Perry, you haven't asked her anything about the ministry. So I realized he had actually looked me up and knew a lot about my story and about my ministry and everything.
Okay.
And he had no problems with my past. I mean, I don't know. Like, what did you really think when you looked all that up?
Well, so the thing is, I've been asking the Lord, give me somebody that would be on the same team with me. I want somebody that's going to have my back and I would have her back and we would be going in the same direction. So that's one of the things that attracted me to Laura. She was on fire for the Lord. She wanted to build God's kingdom and build God's church and do ministry. You know, I was a worship leader at the time. I've been doing that all my life. But that was a very attractive thing to me, that we were going to be able to do something together for God's kingdom. Very attractive to me.
Yeah.
So she's a gift to me. She's a wonderful gift from God. And we make a wonderful team together.
What a story. Redemption, God's goodness. Oh, what song did you sing to her, by the way, when she walked down the aisle? What was the song?
What was that song?
Was it a popular one? Yes, I promise you.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was fun.
Yeah.
I still want to check out that video. I love it.
He actually sang to me twice. So he sang "This I Promise You," which is just, it brings me to tears every day. It's so pretty. But then later he sang, by Matthew West, "When I Say I Do," that's all about. And in fact, this was like right before we got married. And there, oh, we didn't finish the whole story of how it's a cool story of really how we kind of fell in love over the summer as we got in these mutual, we would just get together as mutual friends in mm-hmm. this group. And I just began to think, you know, I think I've made a mistake. I really like this guy. And we went on this kayaking trip with the singles group. And I really just was like head over heels. I mean, he is so much fun. I've never had so much fun with a guy in my entire life. And we really clicked. But, you know, right before we got married, we found out about a situation we were going to be in that had nothing to do with our relationship, but just kind of an external thing that we were going to be dealing with. And I was terrified. And I was like, Lord, I don't know that I can do this. And what he was calling to, I realized that, you know, this was going to be very difficult what we were stepping into. And I remember just kind of sobbing, and he took my hands and he began to sing that song to me. And it's all about how he will be there and be true. Like, when I say I do, I'm committing to you and I mean what I say. Mm-hmm. And I remember just that strength of knowing that no matter what happened between us, and we talked about how divorce was not in our vocabulary. Mm-hmm. You know, we were going to get through whatever we face, we're going to get through together. So we've had some trials, mm-hmm. you know, and a lot of warfare and a lot of mm-hmm. really difficult things we've been married just under 2 years, and we've had some pretty significant trials. And yet I think the Lord has continued to, this has shown me, God has used Perry to show me his incredible strength and his, the way that God loves us through so much. And when we're really difficult and, you know, all of our, because I can be like this with my emotions, and he's so steady and steadfast. And it's such a picture of how God is for us.
There's that word. Yep. Steadfast.
Yeah. And he really, in fact, Perry means rock. It really is. He's like this steady stability in my life that, you know, no matter what happens, he's always there. But I know he's human, you know, and he can't be perfect, but he's such a reflection of that in God, and how God will never leave us. He will never give up on us. He will never forsake us. And so that's been incredibly healing for me, because in my past, men always left me. If I was too dramatic, if I was too emotional, if, you know, whatever, I would get dumped and rejected over and over and over again. And to see a man love me, no matter what's going on, no matter what's happening, has been incredibly healing for me.
Absolutely.
And, you know, some people ask, well, how could you date somebody that was a trans person? Well, the answer is I have never dated a trans person. When Christ came into her life, he radically changed her and redeemed her forever. She became a new creation.
Absolutely.
A new life had begun. God's grace is greater than all of our sins.
Yeah.
And the Lord put us together.
Yes, he did. There's no doubt. And you got the answer to your prayers, Perry, mm-hmm. because you are working in ministry together now.
Right.
Let's talk about Eden's Redemption, which this name just could not be more fitting for your ministry. But tell us about Eden's Redemption.
You want to start?
Well, we had to come up with a name, and that was a whole process, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
We thought we had a name, and we were disappointed that it was already taken. We thought, well, Lord, what are you doing? You wanted this name. But I'm really glad that the Lord led us to this Eden's Redemption. You know, we were created for Eden.
That was the original name. We were going to call created for Eden. And our hearts were really set on that.
And so we were not created in our fallen state like we are now. We were created with perfect bodies, with perfect minds, with perfect relationships, right? There were no misunderstandings. There were no hurts, no pains, diseases, disappointments. Then the fall came. That's where we are. A lot of people don't realize that God did not create this world in its broken state. That happened after he created it in a perfect way. But one day, if we give our lives to Christ or surrender to him, there is going to be a new heaven. There's going to be a new earth. And all of these things will be redeemed. One day we will have a perfect body, perfect mind, perfect relationships. And it will be as if Eden has been redeemed.
It will be redeemed. Absolutely. God knows the end from the beginning.
Right.
Yeah. I was thinking about that as you're telling your story and how all that while, everything that you were going through, you know, God knew
that
one day you would be a new creation. You'd have Perry by your side. And and as you said, I got to find it here that you said, because I love that. Let me find it here in my papers. Come on, Rebecca, where is it? So many ups and downs, but God used all of it. He didn't let any of the disappointment, grief, and bitterness go to waste.
Yeah.
Every bit of it.
Amen.
He's you. So what is the purpose of Eden's redemption?
We really want to teach and equip the church primarily. That's really our heart. Of course, anybody else that we can reach through that, absolutely. We want to reach the LGBT community, but our heart really is to equip the church and to talk about gender and sexuality and how to reach those. Because if we go and minister to the LGBT, we might be able to reach a few, but if we can equip the church, then we can equip thousands to reach them. And we also, I just have an incredible love for the church because years ago, I remember I hated the church. I was so bitter and angry. And this was funny. You know, I talked earlier about those hateful, bigoted people down at the church. Now I can't remember a single thing that anybody did to me at the church that was so hateful. It was my own perception because I hated God, you know, but I don't remember anything anybody did to me that was so hateful. And I think sometimes we are so concerned with what people think about us, but their issues are really with God. If we are truly filled with the love of Christ and we're doing our best to love people, and we'll make mistakes, we're human, but God will redeem even and use those things even. I got sidetracked a little bit, but anyway, I heard this Bible study teacher years ago. He said, I can tell how much you love the Lord by how much you love his bride. And so I began to ask the Lord, I was really convicted. I said, oh Lord, I don't love your bride. And I began to realize that I was part of this body. If I'm claiming to be a Christian, that this is, I'm part of this. And this is supposed to be the bride of Christ. And so I began to pray and ask the Lord to give me a love for his church. And so I've studied a lot of church history and a lot of missionaries. Like I said earlier, I have a passion for the thriving of the church. And so that is one of our primary focuses is to really teach and equip the church. We go and speak at churches. We want to provide a lot of resources. I hear from people all the time, there's no resources out there for transgender issues. There are lots of resources. And so that's one of our hearts is to try and connect people to that. I still need to do a lot of work on the website. We've just opened in January, so we're still working on these things. But reach out to us. We can connect you. We can help. And we want to do our own podcast as well. We're getting ready to start that hopefully here pretty soon. And it'd be a variety of things, but everything related to gender, sexuality, marriage. We have a huge heart for marriage. And I didn't understand initially why God gave me such a passion for marriage. And I thought, God, how does that fit with us trying to reach transgender people? And the Lord has shown me a couple of things. And I think God always has more than we realize, you know, there's layers to things. But one of the things is people that are struggling with their gender and sexuality, not in all cases, but in a big majority of the cases come from broken homes or homes where the parents were not getting along very well, or maybe something like that, or maybe where the gender roles are very confused. Maybe there's a very domineering mother and a very soft kind of meek husband, something like that. Or, you know, there could be a variety of things, but gender brokenness in the parents is reflecting in, not that it's causing it, like, it's all that person's fault. We're all in this broken, sinful world, but that does lead sometimes to these thoughts and this confusion, this gender confusion. So that's part of it. I think that as we strengthen marriages, it will strengthen and reduce the gender confusion and the sexual confusion among young people. They need that stability. It's the building blocks of our society. That's why Satan is intent on destroying the family. So we want to strengthen marriages in order that the families will be strengthened. The other reason, and there's probably much more than this, but that's part of it. The other reason is because as we study God's design of male and female, as I started studying these things, I realized that these things are really helping married couples when they can understand how they're wired and designed and realize that God designed us on purpose differently to reflect different aspects of his character, for God to be glorified in the way that he designed us. And then people can embrace those things rather than trying to change the other person and learn how to work together. So just one quick example that I use a lot in teaching is that men are wired to be very compartmentalized in their thinking, and women are very connected in their thinking. And there are biological reasons for this. Women have much more connective tissue. We have much more right to left brain communication, but both have strengths and weaknesses, and we're intended to help each other. So for example, he told me one time, he said, it's like a TV. I didn't know this about men. This blew me away when we first got married. And he said, I can change the channel, but then I can turn the TV off. What do you mean? If we're talking about like things you're thinking about being like different channels, what do you mean you can turn the TV off? And this blows women's mind when I tell women this, and the men are all like, thank you. Thank you that somebody's telling my wife that this is true. But if we understand that, women get so frustrated because we'll just start talking and men aren't paying attention. But if we'll get their attention first and make sure that they have time, don't ask them when they're doing something really important. You know, don't ask them when they're busy. Don't ask them when they're trying to sleep at night. I'm learning some of these things because they're very focused on whatever they're doing. So if I get his attention, I have his full attention. Whereas a woman, we're thinking about all kinds of things. So he kind of have half my attention sometimes, you know. Yeah. But this really reflects the glory of God, because if you think about, God is aware of everything going on all at once. He's aware of everything that needs done. He's aware of, you know, all the pain and all the thoughts of everybody, which blows my mind. But then he's also able to zero in and focus and tune everything else out as if nothing else in the world matters and be focused in on you. And so that dual aspect of God is reflected in male and female. And that's why learning to embrace these differences rather than reject it is actually an incredible blessing for marriage. Mm.
Oh, I love your thoughts on all this. And, you know, I'm 1,000% behind you with what you're doing, because it's sorely needed. Your ministry is sorely needed because, again, like you said, the enemy is out to get families, to get marriages. And of course he hates marriage because it's God's earthly representation of Christ in the church.
Right.
It's holy, it's sacred. And he doesn't want that. If he can mess up this part, he can hopefully mess up the other part, you know? So it's really important. I think I had shared with you when I had talked with the two of you the other day that as far as equipping the church to deal with these issues are forefront in our society, the LGBTQ, because this is one, I mean, yes, there's sexual immorality, there's heterosexual immorality, and there's homosexual, you know, immorality, but they're asking us specifically here to not call this a sin,
right?
You know, to really embrace it. And they're persecuting people that don't embrace it. But what you're doing is really needed, because I couldn't get anyone interested in the church where I was at to equip ourselves to do that.
Right.
And everybody shied away from it. And it broke my heart, but it was like, well, you can't force people to do it. So what you're doing is wonderful. And I've listened to a couple of your teachings, of your speaking online, and you are wonderful. I'm looking forward to hearing more.
Thank you.
You know, And you've been there, you've been through it. So what better teacher than someone who's been through what you have been through and come out the other side, thanks to God's grace, you know, his mercy, his love, and his grace. So this ministry is wonderful. I'm looking forward to your podcast. You have a name for it?
I don't know if we'll just call it Eden's Redemption or if we'll give it a name. I haven't quite decided. So we'll have to talk about that. And I don't know.
Yeah, you'll get that figured out.
Either way. So you can go to edensredemption.org. And once we have that up and our YouTube channel that I haven't published yet, but hopefully in the next few days, it will be at Eden's Redemption.
Okay.
For YouTube.
Yeah. Do you have any other social media websites or anywhere where people can reach you or follow you or?
Yeah. Follow us at Eden's Redemption on Facebook and Instagram. It's just at Eden's Redemption. And so I think as we add things, they will all be tied to that name. So
okay. Yeah. Like I said, it's a great name. So yeah. Is there anything else that either of you would like to add?
Do you have anything?
You've done a fantastic job.
You both did. Thank you so much. This is the book, Transgender to Transform. Do you have any other books coming out in the future? Or?
Well, hopefully. We've actually been talking about that. I would like to update that book. I don't know if I will just write a new book or if I will update that one. Because I've learned a lot since then. But I'm also working on a book on talking about God's design of male and female. But it's just been, there hasn't been incredible warfare against this book, I think. And I've also been having, some severe health problems, which I think we're starting to get some answers to. But I feel like the enemy's just been trying to take me out.
This is his first and foremost, I think, line of attack, and you're coming up against that. So understandable. But yes, Transgender to Transform, I really believe this book is for anyone. You don't have to be struggling with your gender identity. You don't have to be someone who knows someone.
Right.
We all need to, I think, have a glimpse into the life. I know everyone's story is different, but a lot of aspects of it are the same to an extent. I think we all need to be able to get inside the mind and the heart of someone who's experienced this and struggled with this. Because as they say, the struggle is real, you know, and you can see God. You see God's redemptiveness throughout this too. So thank you, Laura, for sharing your story because it is raw. It's very personal, but it's just wonderful. Thank you so much for blessing us with it. And I know you see God's hand in this book for sure. So thank you to both of you for giving me the time and coming here on One Little Candle. I can't wait to share this with people.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having us on here. It's been a pleasure.
Mine too. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, God bless.
All righty. And that concludes my interview with Laura and Perry Smaltz. Did I not tell you they were amazing people or what? Thank you, Laura and Perry, again, from the bottom of my heart. I know it wasn't easy, Laura, for you to take the time out to do this, but I am eternally grateful for you blessing me and my listeners with your story. And of course, news of your ministry and your podcast that will be coming up soon. So yes, Laura's book, Transgender to Transform, you can find it on Amazon. You can find it on Christian Book. Actually, there's a website, Transgender to Transform, and I'm sure you can find it at Eden's Redemption. I'm always saying Google it. It's available in many places, and it's just a wonderful book. Get a copy for you, and you know, get a copy for someone else, please, because it really does transform the reader as they read it. And don't forget about following Laura on social media, Instagram or Facebook, and me as well. You can follow me at Instagram. I am on there as One Little Candle Podcast. Not really active on Facebook anymore. I would say check me out at One Little Candle Podcast or email me at candlestogether@gmail.com. If you have any suggestions for show topics or questions, prayer requests, anything, candlestogether@gmail.com. Okay, what about our song for today? So I chose this song. It's called Graves into Gardens, and it's from Brandon Lake and Elevation Worship. The link will be in the podcast show notes, so please check it out. Have a listen because it's true. There's nothing better than God. And God does turn our graves into gardens. He rescues us from the grave, and he gives us new life, and we grow in him. So have a listen to that song, Graves into Gardens. And, of course, being that candle, that one little candle, look, our world is hurting. We have a lot of people hurting and a lot of people struggling because everyone wants to know who they are, their purpose, their identity. And if it's not found in our Creator, in Jesus Christ, we're going to look in the wrong place. And there is no fulfillment there. Ultimately, there's emptiness. You might think that there's fulfillment there for a little while, but I really believe at some point it catches up with you. And boy, when it catches up with you, it catches up with you big time. So keep in mind, please, keep your heart softened as much as you can towards a transgender or someone who's struggling, you know, the homosexual, someone, anyone caught up in sin, of course, whether it be sexual sin or any other kind of sin. But again, I think it's hardest to keep our hearts soft in these areas, LGBT, because, as I've said, you're probably tired of me saying it, because of all the activism, the attitude that is forcing people to not call sin, sin, to embrace and go along with a sinful lifestyle. Okay. That's why it kind of has just, it's turned so ugly. And not only that, the fact that they're trying at the same time to, in the process, rip children's innocence away. It's very sad. I am starting an expose on scholastic books, you know, book fairs, what's found in the schools, and they're grooming our children for sexual immorality. Okay. And it's perverse. It's an abomination what they are doing. So it's real easy to become angry and bitter with everyone who may be homosexual or transgender. But we need to not let that happen. Okay. I mean, hey, I've heard transgenders and homosexuals speak out against the activism, the grooming of children. Many see it for what it is. Not everyone is out there to groom our children, to pervert them, but there are many who are. So again, books like Laura's, stories like Laura's, you know, Walt Heyer is another one, a former transgender I've mentioned to you, who attempted to live as a woman for quite a period of time until he also realized the truth. God pulled him out of that. So that's how I want you to be that light in the darkness, because we cannot be the light if we are, you know, having attitude, hard hearts and attitudes of anger and rage. We can be disgusted. Yes, you know, we should be disgusted by society's embracing of all these things that God calls sinfulness and destruction, you know, that are destructive to us. They hurt us. You know, crossing God's boundaries. We should have a righteous anger, but we still have to speak the truth, of course, but we do have to speak it in love. And sometimes we fail in that area, which is why oftentimes, you know, Laura had mentioned the fact that the church that she so hated and labeled as haters and intolerant and bigots and whatever. Sometimes some segments or some people in the church have earned the church, unfortunately, that label. But oftentimes, as Laura said, she couldn't remember one thing that they really had done when the lights came on, when she saw the truth. They hadn't done anything like that. But it was perceived to be that way because, well, the conviction was there and she did not want that. She was running from that. And she was hating God, as she said, and as the Bible tells us, the world hates us, those that represent God, that would be the church, Christians, because it hated him first. It hated God first. So we have to be very, very careful. Speak the truth. Yes, the truth hurts to those that don't want to hear it, but there's no reason to speak it in a way that's purposely hurtful or demeaning or treating people less than human, because they are still made in the image of God. Yes, it's marred by sin, but they're still made in God's image. Okay. So let's keep that in mind in being that light in the darkness, how we handle this. And the best way to handle it, I'll say it again, like a broken record, knowledge is power. educate yourselves on these issues. Learn from those who have been there and come out of it. Listen to their testimonies. The resources are available everywhere. So please do that, because you never know who God might be calling on you to help. You never know who in your life may end up with one of these kinds of struggles. We need, as the light of the world, to be prepared. And, you know, I'm trying to help in that manner. I've mentioned Love and Truth books, because the fact is, as I said, you know, the books that they're putting out for as young as, well, infants, babies, okay? Our children are being flooded with anti-God, anti-biblical books, both in the schools and the public libraries, and of course, the ever-increasing media commercials. And so if you are a parent and you're searching for a way to teach your child God's design for marriage, his design for gender, or how to even counter the damaging effects of critical race theory, Love and Truth Books has resources for you. And they're free. They're free. Okay? They're free. Lovin, L-O-V-I-N, truthbooks.com. Read the books with your children. Check out the links to the resources that are found in the back of the digital books. Get to your children first before someone else does, because that someone else, chances are, especially if they're in public school, that someone else that gets to them is not going to hold the same biblical values that you do. They're not. Okay, so episodes coming up. I'm still going to be having my episode with Josh, Generation Z. We're going to be talking about Christians and what the Bible says about immigration, aliens, not the space aliens, but aliens from other countries living in our land. So please be on the lookout for that. And coming up, you know, we have Good Friday coming up. We have Easter coming up. And, you know, the nation of Israel has been celebrating Purim. It almost, if you look at their parades and stuff, you would think it was Halloween because they dress up in costumes, symbolic of the fact that Haman, one of Israel's genocidal enemies, was masked kind of in disguise as someone good. And he, in fact, wasn't. But I'm going to do an episode on Esther, because there's just a lot of, especially since the atrocities of October 7th, but I just thought it'd be a good time to talk about the story of Esther for such a time as this, and Purim being celebrated by the Jewish people across the world, and the origins of that, and how it pertains to us today as Christians. So stay tuned for that. All right, I'm going to share a verse from Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 that says, and this is from the ESV version, it says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Make sure that you find ways in which to do that this week. Be it ever so small, it doesn't matter, because all it takes is one little candle. All right, my friends, until next time, you take care. And God bless.